out of the teaching. So, if you're on the top of the webpage, you'll see the pictures, the butterfly in the background, and the words say, "Holy shit, could that possibly be true?" And it's kind of going to be the theme for this clinic. Holy shit, could this possibly be true? This clinic is about learning how to enjoy the journey of creation. Wow, I'm just going to pause on that for a second. Enjoy the journey of creation. So instead of our feel being problematic and, you know, a problem like it has been occasionally for me and is for many of you, we're going to learn how to enjoy that journey of creation and use that knowledge to get rid of the crappy feelings and the problems that you've come into the clinic to solve. Now, just pause on that for a second. Use the knowledge of how to enjoy the journey of creating stuff, creating wonderful stuff in your life, and use that knowledge to get rid of the crappy feelings and the problems that you've come into the clinic to solve. Told you we were going to be coming at it a little bit differently. But before we start, we're going to do a short, quiet mind on, I'm calling it our learning ability. That kind of sucks as an expression, but I see this all the time. People who think that they're not good at learning new things or learning is the wrong word. What word am I looking for? But they think they're not good at stuff just because they learned differently from the ways that we were taught traditionally in schools. Or maybe some of you, and I know I had developed what I call a brain skip, where the brain skips a neuron or a brain pathway gets blocked with a trauma. And that can make people think that they're not good at learning stuff. Carolyn just pointed out the word I'm looking for is absorbing. Yeah, not good at absorbing new stuff. So all that is changeable. Your responsibility is to turn up in this clinic and tell me if you don't understand something. And I wrote on the notes, because I'm not dragging you up the bloody hill. But my responsibility as a teacher, and I've got rabbit ears around the word teacher, is to find another way that you can absorb and another way that you, and another way and another way, and I will. So that part's my responsibility. So before we actually get into the meat of the clinic, let's do a brief quiet mind on relaxing into what might be some new stuff, knowing that you can relax about it because I'm going to be constantly getting you to look for your own truth. Okay, so paying gentle attention to your outward breath. And notice the way that the lower part of your ribs just squashes the air from your lungs. And you're not doing that on purpose, just notice the way that happens. Smile a little bit, just a little bit. And if you genuinely can't find a smile, then stick a pen or a pencil between your teeth. We talked about this the other week. Something happens when you even put a fake smile on. It releases endorphins. Isn't that an incredible good thing to know? Normally I wouldn't recommend a fake smile, but endorphins endorphins are a good deal. So So noticing everything about that outward breath. And just turning the lips up. Notice your heartbeat, if that's your thing. Everybody feels these. Everybody's unique in the way that they quieten their mind. So some of these things will be easy and some of them won't resonate with you at all. But if you can't feel your heart beating, then just imagine that you can. And allow your attention to just expand gently into the rest of your body, noticing everything that's going on in your body with an intention to relax into what might be some new stuff today. One of the things I'm really good at, if you work with me one-on-one, is I'm really good at picking up those brain glitches and helping people dissolve them. Just breathing and noticing. And feeling that weight coming off your shoulders. I'm going to be intrigued, whoever it is with those tense shoulders, press star 2 at some point. Star 2 on your little telephone pad. Okay. Now there's an ease about moving into the clinic now. So what we're going to do is start at the beginning with what we're actually creating, with what we're bringing to the clinic. The problems that you bring into the clinic, but more importantly, just about everybody now has had an email conversation with me at some point about the problems that they're bringing to the clinic and a feel-good, smiley feeling goal, something that you want to create in your life, something that you'd like to create in your life, that when you think about it, makes you feel all smiley inside. So not everybody has been able to find that. We can't force that process. We can't make ourselves, have a great idea. it's gonna bubble up in its own good time. But I thought we would talk about the process of manifesting, the process of creating. I'm going to use the word creating more than manifesting because manifesting's got all this energy around it of failure and wank and misunderstanding and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to call what we're doing creating. So I reckon most of you have seen that manifesting change diagram that I've been using for must be 15 years now. Here I am, where I am now, and up there is my goal, my dream, the thing that I would like to create in this clinic. And then there's all these lines between where I am now and the goal, And they're change places. They're the things that have to change in order for me to have my dream. By definition, something has to change in order for me to have what I want. Otherwise, I'd already have it. So all those lines on the diagram are change places. And they're all, every single one of those change places is signaled to us by our feelings. It's our feelings that tell us that something has to change. And when we listen to the feelings, it's our feelings that will tell us what it is that has to change. So here's the thing. You know, yesterday I was pooper scooping in the hay yard, which is the only place on the property where I pick up poop. And I had a backache. I got a backache. And it's a recurring backache that comes back every now and again, and I keep fixing it. But the thing is that, if you think of that change place diagram, the backache isn't the thing that has to change. The backache was my physical feel at work telling me that something else had to change. And in fact, you know, by the time I'd got sore enough, it was screaming at me that something had to change. And when I paused and listened for what that was, the back pain just disappeared. Now, okay, I was sitting down at the time and dropping into a bit of a quiet mind, but I got back up and finished the pooper scooping, noticed what it was that I had to change, actually had that awareness come to me. And then there was a spiritual layer to it that came in later in the afternoon about, actually, I'll tell you what both of them were so that they make sense. So the physical thing I had to change was that I was holding my arms too far away from my body, trying to keep the poop off my clothes. And I had to actually have my arms closer in so it didn't drag on my lower back. And then later in the day, I had the spiritual layer came through, was that I had to stick to my core. I had to keep close to me. I had to keep close to my true self. And that felt really expansive. And I've... you know, done heaps of stuff today without any hint of a sore back. So we'll take this through into different kinds of feel to kind of make my point here. The anxiety that some of you experience so debilitatingly, the anxiety isn't the thing that has to change. The anxiety is the emotional feel of your inner guidance system telling you that something has to change. And the panic attacks are screaming at you that something has to change. Does that make sense? It's not the anxiety that we want to get rid of. Well, yes, you do. There's a paradox there because, you know, it's too big and too yucky and... But once we start using this, using the earlier warning signals, then the anxiety just doesn't even come up. So guilt and frustration and anger are the same. All of it, we're going to go into this a lot more. All of the emotional feel of our inner guidance system is telling us that something wants changing. It's not anger that's the problem. It's what has to change that is the thing that has to change. It's not frustration itself that is the problem. That's the message. It's not guilt that is the problem. That's the message. And then we go into mental feel, the flashbacks of PTSD, the negative thoughts and the worrying yourself almost to death. They aren't the things that have to change either.
They're your mental feel at work trying to tell you what to change. All this stuff is suppressed feelings, pushed down feelings, built up and intensified in our bodies, much, much bigger than they need to be. And the minute, there's almost a split second that we get it, click your fingers and it's gone when we get the message. So I'll go back to the mental fear one because this is big. The flashbacks of PTSD, the super negative thoughts, you know, even the suicidal thoughts have a message. And when we get it, they're gone. So these are your mental feel at work trying to tell you what it is that has to change. And the bigger and scarier the flashbacks and the bigger the worries, the more it's our inner self screaming at us that something has to change. There's a pattern going on here, isn't there? So depression. I love depressed people. I love depressed people. I rub my little hands with glee. Oh, hang on. Let me just shut my email program down because it's making noises in the background. It's probably in your ear. So I was just saying I love depressed people because it's so freaking easy to change. The numbness, the exhaustion, and the deep sadness of depression isn't the thing that has to change. What it's telling us is what has to change. The stuff we suppressed is telling us what has to change. So all of these things that we've thought of as the thing we have to fix, and everybody's emails were full of them. You know, don't think you were on your lonesome. Everybody's emails are full of them. And in fact, I went through a bit of a thing this week where I was bogged down in my physical stuff, not paying enough attention to the message of the physical field that was going on in my body. So all of these things that we've thought of as the thing that we have to fix are our actual feel at work. Sometimes it's ours. Sometimes we're feeling it in our connection to others. And when I wrote these notes, I could actually hear some of you saying, well, you want your feel to bugger off then and stop making your life a misery. You know, you don't want it. You don't want your feel. So get lost. But the thing is, it does get lost that fast the second that we listen and understand what it's trying to tell us. It's gone. So it can bugger off and stop making your life a misery the second that we listen and understand what it's trying to tell us. It's gone. And for those of you who haven't worked with me before, you're in for a treat when you experience how fast the crap drops away when we get the message. And then I put that picture back in there again. Holy shit, is that really true? Holy shit, is that really true? Because if it is, it changes everything. Can you see that it changes everything? If all those things are our feel at work, if all those things I've just been talking about are our inner guidance system at work and in overwhelm, you know, it's not a happy camper, I'll give you that. But if all of that stuff is our inner guidance system in overwhelm, and an inner guidance system that we actually want to have, and if it disappears that fast, I don't know whether you could hear the click of my fingers in the mic, if it disappears that fast when we understand what it's trying to tell us, when we get the message, can you see how that changes everything? If it's really true. So here's the thing. Is it really true? It makes me feel all smiley even as I ask that, because your truth is what counts. Me knowing that this stuff is true all the way to my bones doesn't count. It's not worth anything to you when the shit hits the fan in your own life. But when you know if that's true, then it's like a rock underneath you, no matter what's going on in your life. And here's the other question. What is it that has to change? Like, you know, there's a duh question. When we stop fighting the message itself, when we stop fighting our feel, when we stop fighting our physical feel, our emotions, our energy feelings, our worries, our visions, you know, when we stop fighting all that stuff, then the answer to what is it that has to change comes so much easier. And in fact, one of the things that I've noticed hugely over the last, must be more than a year now, that the whole process let me gather my thoughts because I didn't put this bit in my notes. It's our willingness and our openness and our curiosity about what is it that these feelings are telling me. That's more important than the actual answer itself. We'll see this when we start working with people tonight. So the whole process of getting the message goes from that big aches and pains and big tension, the big fears, the big anxieties, the big worries, to a subtle, much more subtle, smiley feeling inner guidance system. And that's not to say you won't still have your crappy moments, but mastering your inner guidance system means the crappy moments will be short-lived and you'll know what to do about them. In fact, there's that little bit I was talking about. That it's not the answer to what's the message, what has to change, that's the most important thing. It's our openness and our curiosity and our willingness, our comfortableness with the message itself. That's the stuff that transforms our lives and makes the journey of life so much easier and so much more enjoyable. And then the answer flows perfectly in good time. And again, I put that picture up that said, holy shit, is that really true? Because if it is, it changes everything. So is it true that our willingness to get comfortable about the message itself, is that the part that transforms our life? And does the answer really just flow really easily after that? Not necessarily straight away. It can take whatever time it takes. But you feel good in the meantime. And is that really true? Because if it is, it changes everything. So let's see if this is true or not. And that brings me to the subject of the clinic. Getting to the truth of that, because once you know that truth all the way to your bones, whether it's true or not, you'll have a foundation underneath you that will serve you no matter what's going on around you. So that's why you've been getting the emails about your super feeling good goal for the clinic, because we want to create something with lightheartedness, with inspiration and with fun. We want to have freaking fun get a comfort zone around using your feel and see for yourself how all that other stuff really does just vanish as we get to know the truth of this inner guidance stuff all the way to our bones. So instead of focusing on problems in this clinic, what I'd like to do is come at this creating good stuff in our lives, something wonderful. I want everybody creating something wonderful from a light-hearted, smiley-feeling direction so that we can see how our feel can work in practice and we can enjoy getting to know our feel in action around something that makes us feel all smiley inside. So instead of solving problems, we're going to have some fun and the problems are just going to piss off. I'm sure the closer I've got to me, the worse my language is getting. Just pause for a minute and have a feel into that, so that we can enjoy our feel in action instead of being overwhelmed by it. So we can enjoy the journey to whatever that something is that makes us feel all smiley inside. Sandra's got a little trick that she, not trick, she's got something that she does every day. She says, I like to ask in the morning, what do I need to know or do today? And the answer flows. So using inner guidance before it has to get my attention. There's another way that you can do it. I tend to flow with my feel in the moment rather than ahead of time like that. But that's Sandra's one of the happiest people I know. So clearly that's working for her. So what we're going to do with this clinic journey is we're going to do a quiet mind today around finding a comfort zone with a light-hearted, feel-good goal for the clinic. Something that when you think about doing it or having it or experiencing it, something that makes you feel all smiley inside. And for some of you, it may be the goal that you came up with in your emails, because there's some beautiful stuff come up in the emails. Some of you might change it a little. Some of you might change it a lot. At some point in this clinic, I can tell that I'm going to need to fess up what my goal is, but it's very personal and very funny, and I'm not quite ready to do it. Anyway, so let's drop into a quiet mind and set our intentions to find a comfort zone with a light-hearted, feel-good goal for the clinic. Something that when you think about doing it or having it or experiencing it, makes you feel all smiley inside. Something that we can enjoy our feel in action around. Okay, one of these ways of feeling will be more noticeable than others, and one of these ways of dropping into a quiet mind will be easier for you than others. So just flow with what you feel and what you notice. Paying gentle attention to your outward breath. The one thing I miss about doing seminars at this hour of the night is we don't have the beautiful birds singing just outside my window that we normally have. So it's your outward breath that you've got your focus on, and the way that the lower part of your ribs just squashes the air from your lungs. Just sit with that, with a bit of a smile on your face and a pencil between your teeth if you have to. I can feel those endorphins running just at the idea of a pencil between your teeth. Notice the outward breath is getting easier and longer, and the flare of your ribs as you breathe in is happening easier too. But you've still got your focus on your outward breath. And notice there's a tiny little pause coming at the bottom of the breath, where just for a split second you don't need to breathe at all. And you're not doing that on purpose. You're just noticing whether that happens or not. Allow your attention to gently expand out into the rest of your body. Just easy noticing, not doing anything big or on purpose, just allowing yourself to notice what's going on in the rest of your body. Maybe you can feel your heartbeat. Took me years to be able to feel my heartbeat. And if you can't quite feel it, then just imagine that you can. Notice any energy moving through your body, any tingles in your hands and your feet. Just notice what the energy is doing in your body. So you're just noticing and observing, not doing anything at all. And the same with any emotions that come up. Just noticing them and observing them, and not doing anything with them, just noticing them. Noticing the thoughts and ideas that cross your mind. Just observing even the negative ones. I don't care how negative they are. You just observe them. Observe the patterns of them. Observe the other feelings brought up by them. Notice everything about your thoughts and ideas, all the way to the gold at the bottom of them. And there is gold at the bottom of those thoughts and ideas and worries. Our intention in this quiet mind is to decide to notice what to create that will bring you enjoyment, that makes you feel all smiley inside when you think about it. The thing that you're going to create doesn't have to come into your mind straight away. The intention itself is incredibly powerful. You're setting a process in motion where that idea of something to create that will bring you enjoyment, that will make you feel all smiley inside when you think about it, that idea will float in the perfect time. Whether that's when we're talking or whether you dream it or you wake up in the morning with it on your mind, or you're walking the dog and the idea pops into your mind. You're watching a movie and the idea pops into your mind. I remember walking down a supermarket aisle once, and one of my really big aha moments came in, and I'm standing in the middle of the supermarket aisle laughing and crying at the same time with the bigness of it. Face turned to the cans of whatever it was. So nobody try and lock me up. My point is, it comes in its perfect time. So So think to yourself very deliberately that you're going to notice what to create that will bring you enjoyment, that makes you feel all smiley inside when you think about it. This has got to be, I really want this to be something delicious. I want you to enjoy your feel for a change. I want you to experience what enjoying your feel can be like with a super enjoyable goal. Yeah. Yeah, how exciting is that thought? So we're going to open people up in a minute. You can put your hand up with a star two, pressing star two on your little keyboard. But you should know that if nobody puts their hand up, I come hunting you. And it's perfectly okay to say, oh, I'm not up for this, Jenny. but it's just a conversation. We're just going to be having a conversation. About this beautiful goal process. Oh, and our ability to enjoy our feel. The feel that's telling us how to reach that goal. Okay. So, okay, I'm waiting, folks. Press star two on your little keyboard. Who wants to go first? Just tell me. Tell me how it went for you. Kelly from Saskatchewan. Oops, Robin's got her hand up and I just missed her. Kelly, I just opened you up because you were first on the board and you had to come back in a second time, but I remember noticing that you were here early. We've got a fair bit of echo. Can you say something so I can see if I can hear you? No, there's some kind of sound. Way in the background.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. How are you, Kelly? Okay, we've got a shocking sound.
Did you find me?
Yes, I found you.
Kelly is trying to stay awake in the middle of the night.
Hey, listen, have you got a phone? Because the sound is really, really bad, and sometimes we can't even understand you. So if you look around the web page, that web call page, the one where you had the two buttons, one was web call and one was broadcast. If you have a look around that page, there's a link to phone numbers that are the cost of a local phone call. Use your phone to come in, and then you'll have good sound. So click on that link and follow through and find the city in your country, a city in your country that you can phone cheaply. And from that city onwards, it comes through to America and then Australia. At the cost of a local phone call. Okay, because I want to talk to you and I want to be able to hear you. Okay. Robin, how are you, Sunshine?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Hi, everyone.
So So what came up for you in that quiet mind, Sunshine?
I really appreciated that quiet mind because I haven't found a goal yet. Well, I found a million goals, but not one that I just feel really happy and smiley about when I think about it. And I went on a long walk this morning and thought, oh, maybe this, maybe that. But anyway, what that long walk helped me see is that I really needed to take a step back and what the quiet mind just now helped me with, it sort of took the pressure off somehow. So that taking a step back so that it's a goal that one feels good about starts, as you say, like by feeling good about it, not by feeling pressured to quick come up with a goal because it's Tuesday and we're all online and oh, sorry.
Exactly. Yes, you can't force inspiration.
So in that process, I did get a good feeling with the idea of this intention to notice when I have an idea that I feel happy about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what came up for me. So thank you for that.
Excellent. So, Robin, what was your reaction to the kind of things that we were talking about our feel in action, and the feel not being the problem, but actually being the solution?
Well, what came up was a very clear metaphor, actually, when you started saying it, and it's not an original metaphor at all, but you would have heard it before in other people. It's a bit like when the red light comes on in the car to say that you need water in the radiator or something like that. You don't think, oh, I need a green light. I'm going to have to take this in and get the light replaced.
Yeah.
The red light is telling you something, and pay attention to that rather than thinking, oh, this red light, I'm going to get it replaced now or disconnected or something.
Actually, that's a good metaphor, yeah.
So I thought of that very immediately, but as you were talking about it, I also felt for the first time really good about that, really good about that process.
Yeah. There's something very gentle happening with this work that's quite delicious. Yeah. So, Robin, when I asked the words, is it true? Holy shit, could that really be true? Is that really true?
Yes.
Is that the thing that lands and brings that comfort zone to your feel?
In an indirect way, yes, because I look forward to that with curiosity, to ask genuinely, is that true? So I feel enough space around that to approach it like a real question, well, I'll see, rather than forcing myself to jump into a yes answer.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah. So all of this feels very much like taking a step back and a step back and a step back. And I think the gentleness that you're speaking about is what I think I'm responding to, because it's that... it's just taking the pressure off. I guess I can just say it that way. Yeah.
Because, wow, if it's true, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If it's true, it changes everything. Absolutely.
Is it true? Or is Jenny crapping on?
Is it true?
Or is it only true for Jenny?
But I really want to take you at your word here, Jenny, and wait until I feel that really myself, because it's very easy to think, oh yeah, that's true. I can, because I can see how if it's true, then it changes everything. But do I really know that to be true? And the truth, the honest truth at the moment is, I want that to be true, but I don't actually feel it for me.
Excellent.
So excellent. I'm really sort of taking you at your word here and thinking, right, well, Jenny, I'm just responding, and the fact is at the moment that's how it is. So, but I feel very curious and interested to be like, okay, let's ask this as a real question. Is it true? Let's see,
Is everybody else able to ask that question with the curiosity that Robin's talking about? Is it true? Are your feelings really messages from your inner guidance system that are going to give you everything? I'll probably express this differently. Provided, actually, I'm not going to equivocate. Our goals have to be in harmony with the universe, which is one of the things that makes them feel really good. But we're talking about even more lighthearted, kind of fun goals for this clinic. But yes, if our feel is really guiding us to what we want, then wow, we could get curious about whether that was true or not. I'm going to open, Trish is the next one down. I'm going to open Trish up to join us in this conversation. So Trish, you know, we worked together quite intensively about 3 years ago. So some of this stuff's really familiar, but expressing it like this isn't familiar, is it?
No.
It changes everything if it's true, doesn't it?
I was listening to Robin.
Hi, Trish.
And I probably will cry because you know me, Jenny. I always cry.
Well, you can join me. I'm a pretty teary kind of person too.
It's not sadness. It's not stress. It's not anxiety. It's lovely, lovely, open, thankful tears. And I was thinking, wow, Robin, that's so amazing. But I feel perhaps I went through all what Robin's going through now last time.
Yep.
So, you know, all the questioning, is it actually, do I believe this, and that sort of thing. So I was able to answer that I very definitely believe that, yes, it is true.
Yeah. You can feel in your body, can't you? You've got that feeling in your body.
I needed a reminder of it.
Really?
I've been using it. I know I have, because 95% of my anxiety is just gone from where I was last time we worked together. So I know I am using it, but just this wonderful reminder again to take it to another level, to do bigger things with it. That's what I'm ready for now.
So you're ready for some having fun creation.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So notice what that feels like. Gosh, even just the idea. Have you come up with a goal yet? Have you come up with something yet?
Well, it was interesting because I thought I had, and I actually half wrote an email to you right at the beginning, but I never sent it. and originally my sort of problem that I wanted to look at and deal with, understand and get to a better place with, was all around death and loss and grieving. And that's really following on from losing two of my lovely old dogs within a month of each other end of last year. And I'm still crying about losing them. And obviously that a knock-on of that is thinking about losing my dad a few years ago as well. And I guess there's some guilt in the fact that I perhaps feel that the loss of my dogs meant more and affected me more than the loss of my dad. But that doesn't really feel good, thinking about that. I know it's something I want to and I need to get to a place where I absolutely know what I believe about it and I'm in a much stronger position. But interestingly, my thing that really made me feel good and smiley that I want to work towards was just letting go of all my grievances, old and new, and just living only in love. And that's the one that really makes me feel smiley and good.
Okay.
And they may well be connected.
So just think about that right now. Does it make you feel smiley right now?
Yes, but possibly not as much as before we started.
It could just be a tweak. I'm going to tell you what mine is. Mine's hot sex.
Okay.
Go, Jenny.
That's another one you've just brought up now that I hadn't even thought of.
Well, I was just walking down the hallway, and I've got to, look, I'm going to have to kind of, you know, tell you some stuff. My poor bloody husband. He's the poster boy for alternative therapy, and I'm always talking about stuff. Start talking about our sex life, he might draw a big line underneath that. Let me explain why hot sex popped up, and it's turned out to be such a powerful, fun goal to have in my life. Carolyn asked me a few weeks ago, what do you do for yourself, Jenny? Because, you know, it feels like I'm always working and always doing things for other people. And what was I creating for myself? That was fun, you know, just take the teacher hat off and throw it away. She wanted me to take the teacher hat off and throw it away. And this one popped up. Well, the threads of it are enormous because, you know, I've had a sore hip and I've had a sore knee.
Headache.
Our sex life has actually been excellent, like all our married life, but I'm really heavy at the moment and I'm not as athletic as I was. Can you hear me? I can hear you all smirking from, you know, all over the world. There's all these threads, and Sandra, yeah, and I were talking today in the prep for the clinic, and she said even money comes into it because it's hard to have hot sex if you're worried about money. Because, yeah, you know, there's a lightheartedness about it. There's a deep connection with the other person in really hot sex.
So there's really seeing the other person and them seeing me and he seeing me. So there's this beautiful ball of stuff around this light-hearted goal that makes me laugh every time I think of it. Hot sex!
Yeah. I've just added that to my list.
Yeah, and this is going to make you laugh. I put this big bunch of sauerkraut under hubby's mashed potato the other night and said, I've got to look after you.
You said what?
I said to him, there's sauerkraut on your plate. He hates it. There's sauerkraut on your plate because I've got to look after you. I'm manifesting hot sex. So can you see, even that was an example of my feel at work. Like, yeah. You know, his innards need a bit more attention. Oh, my God, if any of you tell him we've had this conversation, I might not survive. I mean, I've survived, you know, talking about his broken legs and his instant bone healing and all kinds of stuff, but I might not survive this one. Yeah. So not everybody's is going to be quite as filled with laughter, but can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
What we're doing in this clinic is having people get a comfort zone with their feel.
Yeah.
Because literally my feel is going to be guiding me to this goal. You know, when I had my sore back, when my back kind of went when I was pooper scooping last night, that was part of it. And as you can tell, it makes me laugh. Yeah. Narelle said to me, Narelle and I did had a chat a few days ago, and she said to me, I'm really sure, Jen, there's somebody talks about knees needing to be in good nick for good sex. Or having good knees meant, never mind, well, yeah, whatever.
So does good sex help your knees?
Well, apparently so. It probably juices Fabulous. Everything up.
I need something for my knees.
Okay.
Then you know the thing about the physical symptoms or pain or tension and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Can indicate that something needs looking at or working on. I've been aware for quite a long time that, you know, on your elbows, the inner bone, the sort of the funny bone, that, in fact, actually, it's the outer bone as well, have been painful. And it's not the joint. I can move the joint all right. But if I'm in the bath and my elbows touch onto the side of the bath, I'm aware that it hurts. So what might that sort of indicate with elbows?
So this is your physical feel at work. This is your body looking after itself the best it knows how to do. So just drop into curiosity about it. The same lightheartedness about this hot sex. Bring that to the elbow question.
Yeah.
It's got a different energy about it, doesn't it? You can get curious about it now.
Mm.
Can you feel that curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the energy, feel that you're an energy field person and you just, the energy is all of a sudden flowing around the message of those elbows. The message of your physical feel. So can you actually feel the energy flowing?
I can feel the energy. I don't feel any ahas yet. So shall I quiet mind it and just be open?
No, don't even worry about the ahas. This is a different kind of energy that we've stepped up into since we worked last together, Trish.
Okay.
This is really important. The answer isn't even important.
Oh, okay.
It's the energy, it's the curiosity and your openness and willingness to understand the message. That's how you enjoy the journey. And the answer just comes when it's ready.
Okay.
Can you feel the truth of that?
Yeah.
Wow, your heart chakra is running like crazy. Can you feel how this changes grief? I just dumped you in the big one. But that same feeling brings the same curiosity. Grief is love grief is love that thinks it's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Just the curiosity, sweetheart. And if that doesn't work, think hot sex.
I love that. If it gets too heavy, just think about that and laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because it's... Mm. You know, I don't think I've ever worked with anyone with grief and not have them find... where that love's meant to go. We think we've lost them, and we haven't really lost anything. But hang on, that's my answer, not yours.
Yeah, I haven't quite got there yet.
So just the curiosity. Yeah, I was just having a feel into whether this was right to tell you or not. I lost Bobby last year.
Yeah.
And the morning he died was one of the most beautiful mornings of my life. He taught me how to use emotional feel as a communication, and he beamed joy at me on and off for the 2 solid hours that we were waiting for the guy to come. Trish, you've got really strong sensitivity. Tune in to me, please. not to you and yourself. Tune in to me. Just an intention.
Blow my nose.
Because I have a feeling this is easy to do for someone else than it is for yourself. Okay. So to tune into me, you don't go looking into me. You feel into yourself and you have an intention to tune into me. But you're feeling into yourself. So you feel in yourself the stuff that's me. There, I can feel you really clearly. Gosh, your heart feels strong. Now look around me and feel Bobby. Yeah, that big heart thing is him. Is that what you just felt? A really big heart expansion?
Yeah.
That was him. So he might not be in my paddock, but he's still here. The connection is still really strong. I don't see him. I don't see him very often. In fact, I'm just trying to think, have I ever actually seen him? Maybe once. You're doing this for more than you two, because I know there's at least two other people on the call who've had big grief stuff. And the lightheartedness of looking for the love, where the love's going to go, is Adrian, I'm opening you up. Now I've got three of you open at the same time. We've got a, so if we get background noise, I'll close somebody off. But Adrian, I know this is particularly pertinent for you too. How are you going in this conversation?
I can't hear Adrian.
No, neither can I. Okay. I think okay. She's but we don't have a line problem. I think she's just busy feeling into herself at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the question. Is it true that even our grief is bringing us something wonderful? Could that possibly be true?
I don't feel sure.
I'm not surprised. Because that's not within the realms of your experience so far.
And just because it's in the realms of my experience doesn't make it true either. But if that was possible, if it was true, would you want to know?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So find that feeling of find the feeling of curiosity about it. Is it true? Is it true that the soul lives on? Or is Jenny talking through a butt? Is it true that that love doesn't have nowhere to go? That that love does have somewhere to go? Is that true? Just imagine if that was true. It would change everything.
I suppose that's making me think that I need to really, really believe that love is just love, and love is one love. It's not a love for Paddy, a love for Lou, a love for my dad, a love for my husband, a love for myself. They're not all separate and different.
I suspect that might be one of those paradox things, that they are both the same and different at the same time.
Because if they are different, and the love I had for Paddy, I'm just picking him as an example, was only for him. And he's not here anymore. Is it that I feel that that love has nowhere to go? Because I still love. I still love him. I still love that he was in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. I learnt from him.
Your third eye is wide open. Wow. You're really open to know the truth here, aren't you? Like, can you notice what your body feels like being this open to know the truth?
I do feel open, and I feel I don't really know how to say it. I feel like I'm not vulnerable, because whatever the truth is, it is the truth. And it won't hurt me. But I don't yet feel I know what that is, that truth.
Yep. And that doesn't matter. That truth's going to come up when you're ready. That truth's going to come up in its own good time. It's the openness to want to know the truth. That's the thing. That's the thing that changes everything.
Great.
Let's see who else we can open up to join in this conversation. Kelly has come in by phone. Can we hear you better this time, Kelly?
I am here. Have you got a connection?
Good. Yes, we have a connection, and it's a nice, easy one as well, worth its weight in gold. So, Kelly, have you had a loss that this resonates with?
Okay, I have had many losses in my life, but I have, you asked a question about can grief bring you to a happier place or something? I don't know exactly how you worded it.
Yep.
And I said, oh yeah, most definitely. But that takes time to get to that place. So I have had a considerable amount of experience, and I've also had time. So, yes, I can answer that question.
Yep, I agree. I agree. It can take time. It takes less time when we're open to the feeling of it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Gosh, I wish I could open Carolyn up as well. But her connection to Portugal is better done in text than live. It's all exactly as it's meant to be. Yeah, the first time I ever heard somebody say that grief could be euphoric, I kind of went, what the hell? But it is actually possible. Ah, Adrian, I've got you open, Sunshine, so you should be able to just talk.
Oh, okay. I'm here. I'm sorry. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I nodded off.
You nodded off.
Just a trifle.
Oh my God, that's keen, 2:30 in the morning.
Wanted to be here. I lost Carrie today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was time.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's I don't even know how to put it, because it's like between she was it was a while back, but it was like I was just frightened at how much that dog and I had connected, and to the extent that it was like I was actually terrified that when she went, I wouldn't be able to cope. I mean, it was that intense. It was about 5 years ago. And I actually got another Roddy so that when she went, I wouldn't like absolutely lose it. And the way things ended up working out is I lost Carl when he was only four years old. And so here I am with, you know, it was just me and Carrie anyway, like it was supposed to be, I guess. And I don't know. I mean, over time, it didn't end up being so absolute. I mean, I was just terrified that I would like just completely have a meltdown. And
great timing for you to be with us tonight then, Adrian.
Well, that's why I stayed up, because it's, you know, I'm okay. It's it was the same with Annie. I mean, I had Annie for, God, 27 years. And it was knowing that she was going to go was before was the worst part. But being able to be there and saying goodbye and they go, and it's like, there's nothing to be afraid of now. It's already happened. It's just the anticipation is really, really hard on me.
That's interesting. It's the anticipation that's the worst. Just pause for a second. Trish, notice your heart chakra is running really strong.
Yeah. Well, Paddy had spondylosis and went off his legs probably about three and a half years before he died. He was an old boy anyway. And he bounced back incredibly and had another 18 months of running around like a loon, unbelievably.
Oh, that's
And then
wonderful.
It happened again, and it happened again. And he bounced back with treatment and with CBD and with everything. And he had another year of running around, but not as fast, not as agile. But by that time, he was 14. So we knew really that he was on borrowed time for quite a long time as well. And my husband and I had sort of talked about it and said, at his age now, we just feel if it happens again, perhaps that's the time to say goodbye to him. So there was a lot of that, I guess, knowing that it was going to come, but not knowing when it was going to come for us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can.
So what do you think... So, Adrian, I'll ask you this question, but it's also for Trish and Kelly. What do you think happens to the soul at death?
Well,
what happens?
I hope. I hope. I mean, I hope that it lives on. It's like, I can't, that's the email I wrote you. It's like, that's one thing that when I was younger, it was like, that was just part of the fabric where it's like, I knew, I mean, it was like, we're all going to be together again. It wasn't as hard losing, you know, a horse or a dog, cats back then. Because I just accepted. I mean, it was like, I knew it was going to happen. And it's like, I realized partly through the thing with Carl, it's like that car wreck really knocked a lot of stuff out of me that it's like, I didn't realize. And it's like, I don't know anymore. I mean,
okay.
I should say not don't know. It's like, I don't know.
Okay.
Now I just hope.
Second. Yep. Just pause again for a second. Because context, Adrian had a really bad car accident a while back and got a big head injury. And you'd done whopping healing around that. But I'm just going to point out to you, that's not yours. That's not your doubt about whether you're going to meet again. That's not yours. That's not yours. You picked up somebody else's.
Wow.
So who was most impacted about your accident? Who was most scared?
My husband.
Scared at the thought of losing you?
Oh, my husband.
Okay.
No, that, yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Can you feel the whole thing's kind of like, holy shit. So you didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to pick up my husband's terror at losing me. There was a reason for you to feel his fear.
Wow.
So now you can find the willingness to understand why you were picking his stuff up. What is it that you need to know or do for him?
Yeah.
Can you find that feeling of openness and curiosity and willingness to know what that is? Yeah. It changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because it's, to be honest with you, it was like, I felt like it lost something. I mean, I really lost something that it's like, I always just was like, it was part of the fabric of me. And it was like gone. But I've had that happen before talking to you, where it's like, I can just feel it sliding away. When you're like, it's not yours. And it's
I remember your head injury sliding away like that. Wow. So the answer to, you know, just to put clarity around this for everybody who's listening, the answer of what you need to know or do for or about your husband, the answer itself, I was going to say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. The answer's eventually going to come in. But it's the feeling of willingness to know the answer. That's the key to happiness.
Yeah.
That is the key to happiness. Far out. Because even though you don't know yet what you've got to do for or about your husband, why you were feeling that, because we've got some new people on who've never heard this work before, I better explain one more step. We don't feel other people's stuff gratuitously, not unless we're silly enough to go looking into them and, you know, peering around like carnival psychics or something, and even they've got their place. Not mine, I might add, but I only feel other people's stuff when there's something for me to know or do for or about them. And most of us will feel other people's stuff when there's something for us to know or do for or about them. So Adrian's willingness to know what that is has just completely transformed the grief and the loss. And Carolyn had something for you, Trish. I saw it flick up on my phone a second ago. Hang on. She says, what's your truth, Trish? Is the pain of the anticipation that you're feeling more than the actual loss? That's an interesting question.
Yeah. To be honest, it wasn't until Adrian talked about the anticipation and the pain of that I realised how much that had affected both me and Andy.
Yeah.
But I think to me, I think it does feel like it's the loss that them not being here with me anymore. That is the most painful.
Yep. I'm gonna chuck this in the mix for you too, Trish. This isn't all yours either.
No, I'm getting that. And I think some of it is Andy's, and I think some of it is actually my sister's, and nothing to do with my dogs.
Yep. You can actually feel the energy changing. You can actually feel the energy changing around it now.
Because, like Adrian, I've lost my beloved animals. I've lost Medler, Sniper, who I thought was my sort of dog of a lifetime. Pepper, you know, that must be 4 years ago now. And then Lula and Paddy, very close to each other.
Well, the one thing we can absolutely guarantee is we're going to lose our beloved animals. Because, you know, unless your pet's an elephant or a cockatoo, they're going to live shorter lives than us.
Yeah. And, we know that, don't we, taking them on.
Yeah, and I've often wondered if the universe gives us this one to kind of get at the bottom of what we really believe in about life after death and what happens to souls and all that kind of stuff.
Chris said to me very recently that that's what she thought and that that's why I've just taken on a 10-year-old rescue dog. Another oldie.
So, Adrian, there's a deep sense of peacefulness around you.
Yeah. I'm sitting here just soaking away. Well, I will say, and it's not because it's late. I was beginning to get really concerned because I was not, this is just not the right set of words, but it's like I wasn't getting over Carl. He was this little bundle of joy that was, it's like I think about it and it's like he'd always come up and he'd stick his head under my hand. He was just tall enough that he'd walk with me with his head. I mean, he just put his head up under my hand. And it was like I couldn't even think about the good times without just coming apart and just, I mean, weeping constantly, seeming like. And it was beginning to concern me because it's like, this is, I want to get beyond this. I don't want to sit here and grieve like this, where it's like I'm ripping my heart out every single day. The 4 years I had with him were full of joy, and it's like I want to remember that. I don't want to be, you know, it was really beginning to bother me. And
okay, that's really big, Adrian, because you've actually manifested that now.
Yeah, it's
can you feel
gone? I got to tell you, yesterday I could not have told you about Carl putting his head up under my hand without coming apart. I mean, I would have been crying and hiccuping and not being able to get the words out. And it's like, I can talk about, him now without having that in the way where I can remember the joy, but it's like, God, it's been 2 years.
You can actually feel the smiley place when you think about him, can't you?
Yes, I can. It's lovely.
Wow. And do you realize, it's okay, Adrian, your clinic's finished. You can bugger off now.
Why, thank you.
That's what you wrote to me in your email.
Jenny, don't send him off because he's helping us.
Oh. Adrian's a lady with the most gobsmacking, amazing voice I've ever heard in my life, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I'm one of those people that really has the new kind of husbands.
Yeah, you've just manifested your goal already. So now, from now, we can go after the light-hearted one. Thanks very much. Some light-hearted creating, and
oh, I'm so glad I stayed up.
Yay.
So am I. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I believe me. It can be so hard to find your way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's what this, I mean, honestly, I was exhausted, and it's like, I knew I need to be here for this, because because I got fixed. I don't know how to put that. It's like, it's.
So, Adrian.
I feel so much better.
Yeah. So, Adrian, can you feel, I mean, I know you can feel the appreciation for the peacefulness that you're feeling now, but can you also, did you manage to do the quiet mind earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I think I only nodded off for about 10 minutes. I mean, I did.
Yep.
It was just like, oh, man, this is great. I'm feeling good. And also, yeah.
Okay, so Trish.
Yep.
Feel that heart chakra running, because it's running beautifully. It's interesting. When I feel my heart chakra running like that, I know that everything's okay.
Yeah. Or if it's not okay, it will be okay.
Yep.
But it's okayer than it was. That's for sure.
Okay. So let's go through these people one by one. Can you feel the willingness? Can you find that curiosity and that openness to understand why you've picked up your sister's stuff and what you need to know or do for or about her? You don't need to know the answer. The answer is not the problem. The curiosity and the willingness, the curiosity about why have you picked up her stuff? What are you meant to do about it? What are you meant to know about it? Can you feel that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's one layer gone. Now, Andy, can you feel that openness and willingness to understand why you've picked up his grief?
Yes. I don't have the answer, but yes. I suppose it's because we went through it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there'll be something specific for you to know or do for or about him.
Okay.
And you put yourself, because you found that feeling of curiosity and willingness, you want to know why you picked up his stuff. So the answer's going to come when it's ready. So this is, oh gosh, if we can get this in cement in the first week, then holy shit, your clinic is going to be like
you know, rocket fuel underneath you. Because it's not the answer that matters. It's how we go about getting the freaking answer that matters. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes it much clearer.
Yeah, because what we've been doing is we've been fighting our feel. We've been fighting our fear. We've been fighting our visions. We've been fighting, you know, the physical discomfort of our physical feel. So when we're open to understand it, that transforms what we're feeling.
So, Jenny, just to help me understand and get this really clear in my head,
yep.
Does it sound right then? Because to me it seems that with all my other dogs, when I've lost them and experienced grief, obviously I've dealt with it how I've been able to at that point in my life,
yep.
but
yep.
I clearly haven't really.
So what actually happened
with it? But do you, what I'm going to say, I think I know what you're going to say, is that because I haven't, the universe just keeps chucking it at me stronger and stronger and stronger until I really get it. Because that's sort of what it feels like.
Kind of. You're not getting death chucked at you until you get it. That's
no,
not
but the
happening.
Opportunity but to
the
deal with it, to learn to...
That kind of has a feeling of making us responsible for death, and death is going to happen come hell or
high water. That wasn't how I meant it.
Yeah. So the each unresolved grief intensifies the next one. That's what I meant. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. It's like anxiety. You know, each unaddressed, you know, each unresolved fear intensifies the next one until you've got this great big freaking ball of anxiety that, you know, you're scared of your own shadow. And I might add, I can say that because, you know, that was pretty much me. Well, not quite. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but man, I certainly lived with an awful lot of fear.
Yeah.
So, yes, each unresolved grief intensifies the next one. And what you've just discovered, both of you have just discovered, that some of those griefs weren't even yours.
Yeah.
And they were intensifying the next grief. Holy shit, is that true?
Yeah.
I can feel somebody going, wow, there's some pennies dropping in somebody else. Whoever that is who's got pennies dropping, put your hand up and join in the conversation. Star two. The only reason I haven't got everybody open at the same time is because of background noise.
I think probably me too.
Is that Robin?
Yeah, sorry. I think probably me too, recognising that, not all my grief has been mine. Like all the amount of them, was intense. I was going to add one more thing. It started, I didn't jump in because everyone was processing a lot already. But it occurred to me, and it sort of, I felt this before, but it came up when everyone was talking about it, that grief, there's an intensity about it that just turns up the voltage on everything else. This has been my experience.
Yeah. Yep.
In the chat, Carolyn mentioned how I now feel it, that Carolyn has a comment about grief is just a sign of how much I loved. And so I came across that idea and that sort of transformed grief for me, that if you just think of it like an like love flowing through you, and normally the image that comes to me is that normally we have a little, you know, our love's going through and that's nice, but then grief comes and it really stretches. You know, you suddenly become aware of this huge wave of love going through. It sort of stretches you more than you usually feel that amount of love. And what I've noticed for myself, yeah, so that I couldn't say that I've ever been euphoric because of grief, but it has such a feeling of missing or that longing or how much you love them. It's just, if for me, just thinking about it like a, it's just love pouring through, except it's a, it's a huge wave, a huge river of it, rather than a little trickle.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then the other thing that has been my experience, and I'm sharing it just, I don't know if this will help yours to get Jenny's comment, is that that because it turns up the voltage, it means it turns up the voltage on everything else that might be going on at the same time. Like anger or guilt or, you know, worry or shame or whatever else, yours or somebody
else. Here's the thing I want to throw into that. Mm. It also turns up the joy.
Oh, it can, and certainly at times when I've experienced grief, I felt overwhelmingly loving to people that I don't usually feel too loving towards, and really attacked on them. Sort of, I want to just love the whole world, and, you know. So that too. But what I was going to say is there's sort of two sides of it for me, because, no, what I want to say is that for me there's almost like the grief that is love, like just this powerful river of love that's much stronger than you normal day-to-day life. And then there's all this other stuff, and very often the two become conflated. And so sometimes I've seen it in other people, I feel I've seen it in myself, it's easier to feel angry or mad at someone rather than feel the grief of the loss. And then at the same time, that's one version of it, at the same time, sometimes in grief I've had enormous clarity, and it's helped me separate out those two camps. One being grief is just this love, and the other is everything else, you know, everything, all the other kind of stuff that might be going on, that might be mine or might be somebody else's. Yeah, that's all I meant to say.
Hmm. I just turned Trish's dogs off for a second. I presumed it was Trish's dogs and I was right. Yes, it's really interesting that it's an interesting thing that I've observed over decades of working with grieving people, that in Western society we're so ill prepared for death.
Yeah.
And it's simply because we haven't kind of thought about that big question: what happens to the soul after death? What do I believe in? What is the truth? You know, is it true that a soul lives on? Because holy shit, if it does, it changes everything. You can't see me kind of throwing my hands up at the computer screen.
Yeah.
So I want to know. I mean, I already know that truth all the way to my bones. I've had some gobsmacking experiences with it. But for everybody here, it is the big certainty in life is death, and knowing what we believe in, what we know is the truth all the way to our bones, is like, it's a holy shit moment. Okay, I'll open you back up, Trish. So, Trish,
how are you feeling right now? Now that you've found your curiosity about Andy and your sister, and who was the other one? There was three, no. Wasn't there?
No, with regards to the perhaps all the grief of the loss not being mine, I think it was Jane, my sister, and Andy.
Okay. So now when you think about Patty, your heart's running.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll still cry.
Well, we cry happy tears as well as sad ones. I like tears. If you were actually in a clinic room with me, I wouldn't even give you a tissue. I'd make you get all snotty.
Thanks. I brought tissues with me.
I let the tears run into their ears. And
I know tears can be an amazing release, can't they?
Okay, so those answers have now got a chance to float up, Trish, where they were clogged up before. It was like the process was clogged up.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Send me an email or a message about what comes up for you so we can share it with everybody on Thursday.
Okay.
And anything, you know, anything that you that any of you would like to share that comes up after a session that you want to share with everybody, just let me know and I'll include it in the web page. You know, I'll include it down the bottom. So does anybody else have anything they want to talk about? Hang on, I'm just going to pull this back a bit to Trish. So Trish, now a goal is different, isn't it? Your goal for the clinic is different now. A light-hearted creating of something just for you. Well, unless you're going to include your husband like I did. You're not allowed to have hot sex. That's mine.
No, I want to take that one as well. Maybe if I worked on that would help Andy as well with his grief.
It's right for the nitty.
Yeah, maybe you've got to give him some sauerkraut.
Is that the new euphemism?
No, I'm actually going to give him some sauerkraut. Hey, listen, serotonin runs out of the digestive system, so you want your digestive system doing really well.
Yeah.
So serotonin's one of the feel-good hormones, and it runs out of the digestive system. So giving him sauerkraut is likely to make him feel perky.
Forget the oysters.
So I'm eating plenty of sauerkraut for me too. Oh gosh, I can feel people who hate the idea of sauerkraut
rolling their eyes. You could use kefir instead.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, every civilization has their version of something that increases healthy stomach bacteria. Yeah. Okay, Catherine, Catherine in Queensland, I started to open you up earlier, and we were still continuing, and I didn't get that, because this has been resonating with you, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time with the loss. I, to my bones, know that your soul lives on. I've had an awful lot of loss lately, so, yeah, but I know... And I feel them here. Listening about the dog, my dog Kara, who I thought I'd never get over, I'd never get another dog or anything, but she's here all the time. I fairly trip over her nearly if she comes back. she lets me know. And I got another rescue dog that I didn't want to get, but everyone's going, you know, you need to look at this dog. And I saw her and I truly believe that if a dog needs to be with you more, they will find any way in their power to get back to you. And I think that Kara's come back in Hemi. So,
wow.
And I still call her Kara all the time, and she answers, luckily. But I look into her eyes and I can see Kara. I know it's Kara in there. Yeah, so, yeah.
Mm.
But that's my truth, that's my belief, yeah.
And so I'll ask again, holy shit, is what Catherine said just true? Is what Catherine just said true or not? Because if it is true, it changes everything.
Mm.
So that willingness to know the truth, that's your key to happiness. You can feel that, can't you, Trish?
Oh, yeah.
The answer isn't coming up straight away, and that doesn't matter, but you're willing.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, it's not. Keep your snotty. I hope my terrible Aussie sense of humour is translating into English, Trish.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm going to open up Costanza. And so that you can join in the conversation here, Sunshine.
Jenny, I'm sorry, this is Robin. I have to go. I'm sorry to interrupt, Costanza.
Okay, Sunshine, it's wonderful. Good to see you again. We'll see you again over the next few weeks. Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you.
So, Costanza, I haven't heard your beautiful voice yet.
No, I'm very quietly soaking everything. It's been good. Thank you.
This is your first experience of this way of working, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it's been quite. Quite blind myself.
Okay, better buy you a new pair of socks.
Oh, I've got plenty of socks.
Okay, so Costanza, in our email exchanges before the clinic, you found, you know, you went through the problems that you wanted to fix, and then you found a really good feeling goal. In that quiet mind,
Is it still the same goal, or have you fine-tuned it a bit?
It's still the same goal. I've just developed a different feel.
We've got a line that's breaking up really, really bad. Next time you come in by phone.
Okay, you want me to try and...
Yeah, it's worth it because we've got 10 more minutes.
All right.
Yeah, go to the link. There's a Canberra phone number, or there's definitely a Sydney phone number, and I think there's a Canberra one too. So what about in the chat room? How's everybody been going in there? I'm just seeing who's been in there. Trish has just asked Al, did she want to talk? Yeah, Al's come in on broadcast because she didn't want to talk. That'll be Costanza coming in. Or not. I did 2.5 hours, so...
Guest ID for help with guest options. Press start.
Carolyn's asking me if I've recorded the... Okay. Not sure what that's about. I didn't need to extend the recording time, Carolyn, because I set it for 2.5 hours. We've actually... hang on. That is Costanza that's just come in, so I'll open that. So, Costanza, we're going to be able to hear you now.
Yeah, hi, Jenny. Is that better?
Yes, much.
Okay. Yeah, you were asking me about the goal and whether I'd refined it.
Yep, or whether it was because it was feeling pretty bloody good on your last email.
No, it's still sort of what it was at my last email. When I first came up with it, and just. Can I share for everyone else what it was?
Sure. Mm, you're welcome.
So through a very, very, very odd set of circumstances, I ended up buying a horse about a month ago. And there's a bit of a history with this horse, but anyway, at this point in time, we are actually together. And so my goal was to be the – is – to be the best human I possibly can be for this little horse that's come into my life again. And when I first came up with that goal, it actually made me quite emotional. And then one of your emails, it was talking about feel good and joy, and I thought, wow, you know, that's interesting. It's something that I would like to add to that goal is a feeling of joy. So I've just refined it a little bit, and I still get, I don't know why, I don't know, there's so many things around this horse that I don't know why, but that I've just given up asking.
Gosh, when they come into our lives, when they come into our lives like that, it's there's a reason for it.
that's what I figured. You know, it was just the most unexpected thing you could ever imagine. I absolutely did not imagine. I didn't even think she was still alive. And there she was. Like, oh, okay, you're still here. How amazing.
Yeah.
And now here she is. So, yeah, who knows? Who knows? But, you know, whatever journey it is that we're meant to have together, I'd really like to be the best that I can be for her. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I know that's resonating for some other people on the call too, who have similar goals with their horses to experience joy and for the horse to experience the joy too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so the horse's name is Belle. I think she's, from what I can tell, she's in a pretty good space now. She's sort of quite content and happy. She's got a funny sort of a thing on her chin at the moment, which I've got a vet coming out to have a look at on Thursday, which is sort of making me scratch my head a bit. But other than that, I think she's pretty happy.
They love being listened to. The more we listen, the happier they are. It just kind of starts flowing.
Yeah, she's 8 years old, and as far as I know, so I've known this horse maybe 4 years. She's a standard bred who failed at racing. and this is possibly the first time ever in her life that she's been listened to, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from when I met her 3 or 4 years ago. But what it's brought up the most amazing stuff for me, you know, really, really deep stuff. The journey has been so far in the 1 month that I've had it. it's really I've had to really dig deep, and it's good. It's good. It's just it's a challenge.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, and I started having these nighttime panic attacks a week ago, and which really knocked me off my perch. You know, if I get 2 hours sleep at night, the next day I'm pretty cactus. And then sort of after about 4 days of this, your email popped into my inbox about, oh, I'm doing a clinic on anxiety. I thought, okay. Good, <I'm...
laughs> Well, what a coincidence. I just want to pause you there for a second. Panic attacks that suddenly came out of the blue, they weren't all yours.
Okay, that sounds true, actually, to me, because they actually come out right out of the blue.
Feel what's happening in your body.
My blood pressure's going up.
Yeah.
But that feels right.
Yep. So who's somebody's got that much fear on board that it's causing you to have panic attacks in the middle of the night. Who is it?
It's my mother, I think.
Yep.
I think it's my mother.
Yep. Can you feel your body's changing?
Now I've got a knot in my stomach. I just know every time she's having a big anxiety thing around me, that's when I get these bouts of insomnia. You're right. And it's sort of been, in the shadows.
So here's the thing. I'm going to pull you up because we're all pretty much at the end of Adrian sitting there in the US at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and we've been sitting for a really long time. There's a reason you're picking up your mother's stuff, and it's a message from your soul. This is not her drawing on you. This is not her putting her stuff on you. This is not her responsibility at all. This is your feelings. You're picking up your mother's stuff for a reason for you.
Now, it might be something to know or do for or about her, that will come in. So can you find that feeling of curiosity, like, why the hell am I waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a panic attack? What is so big that I need to know? There. Notice how different that feels when you find that.
Okay, so what popped into my head was people pleasing.
You also heard.
Everyone. Mine, well, hers that I took on board as a young kid, as a very young child.
There you go. Wow, that's going to change that lower back pain that you get. Yeah, I'm good, aren't I?
You are awesome.
I felt that just before I opened my mouth, I felt my lower back. And I was distant enough that I knew it wasn't mine. And I went, that is going to completely... See, because our feel can be lighthearted. That's what this is the perfect way to round this session off today. Our feel can be lighthearted. It doesn't have to be this fucking waking up in the middle of the night shitting yourself with a panic attack. It doesn't have to be depression. It doesn't have to be, flashbacks of PTSD. They're all our feel at work, and it can be lighthearted.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Holy shit, is that true? That's what we're going to finish up on. Holy shit, is that true? Because if it is, it changes everything. Yeah. Is it true that our feel can be lighthearted as it guides us through our life journey?
That being true is actually the only way that it's going to work for us, I think.
Well, it's true for me.
Yeah. It has been true in my life too. Absolutely. So, wow. Okay, so I'm picking up my mother's need to people please, right? Wow. What the hell? Why?
Exactly. Why?
Why the blazes would I do that?
Yeah.
Weird. That is weird.
But your willingness to ask why and want to know that answer is your key to happiness.
Yeah, right.
Wow. 'Cause the answer doesn't matter. You know, the answer's going to come in sooner or later anyway. But it's the feeling of willingness to want to know the answer that changes everything.
Right. Wow, okay. Ooh, that's big. That's huge.
I know.
Holy smoly.
Yep, holy shit.
Yeah, that's the holy shit. You know, shit that is holy.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
Every time you say holy shit, I think of this sort of royal shit.
Well, that's almost as funny as hot sex.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
We've done a full circle here tonight. This has been quite amazing.
That's flying the top of my head as well as my socks.
Okay.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetheart. I'm opening everybody up to say goodbye. And Adrian, you definitely get star of the week sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I used to be a bartender, so it's like it's not exactly hard. I'm on my second wind now. I'm wide awake.
you were an what? Did you bartend while you were FBI profiling?
No, but that's how I put myself through graduate school.
Okay. So you bartended your way through graduate school.
Yeah. But I got used to staying up until like 4 or 5 in the morning. So.
Oh wow. I remember when I used to be able to do things like that.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time.
Okay. Wow, everybody. What a fabulous circle of life we've gone on tonight. Unexpected and amazing. Yeah. Wow.
That was awesome. That was
well done, everybody. Well done, everybody. Woohoo. I'm gonna be whatever kind of comes up, keep notes or drop me emails or something so that you keep track of your progress. Because if you're like me and lots of other people I've worked with, some of the transformations, some of the changes in you will be so profound you won't even remember that you had a trauma. I can't tell you how often that happens. Okay. Love you all the bits.
And you, Jen.
Thank you.
See you next
time. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
And feel welcome to come.
Take care,
feel
Trish.
Welcome. Yeah. I feel welcome to come.
Thank you, Adrian.
Anybody who wants to can come in on Thursday as well, but the subject matter is going to be the same. But because it'll be different people, the flow will be different, and who knows what the heck it'll bring up because it'll be different people. Okay. Lots of love, everybody. Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the